magnify the name of Jesus tonight. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Oh, had it not been for the Lord on our side, we bless you and we praise you. You are so good.
God, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord God. We bless you tonight. Father, we just glorify you. You are holy and worthy to be praised. Come on, church, let's go ahead. Let's lift our voices and praise him. Father, we glorify you tonight. Father, we're just honored to be gathered in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know that you are here in the midst with us. Lord, you are risen. You are alive. And Father, we're here to celebrate the greatest moment that has ever taken place. We just glorify you, Lord God. Father, you are worthy to be praised. And Lord God, we're going to sing praises. We're gathered in your name. Father, we're going to lift you up. Father, we thank you that you provide all that we need. You have loved us with such a great love. We just praise you tonight. We glorify you. And Lord, you have instructed us that, first of all, that prayers be made for those that are in civic authority. So Father God, we pray for those that serve in our government. We pray for the president. We pray for our congressmen and women. We pray for our senators, our Supreme Court. And Father, we don't forget our local state and local governments. Father, we just thank you that you are raising up great men and women to serve. Father, we just bless you. Father, we just say that you lead these individuals with wisdom and righteousness, that the gospel of Jesus Christ has free course in America. And Father, we just declare tonight that all Erie County shall be saved. Every man, woman, and child will know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We glorify you. We thank you for a mighty harvest out of this land. We just bless you, Lord God. And Father, we're going to receive your word with joy here tonight. Father, we're going to praise you and honor you. And Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. Hey, before you're seated, go ahead and get out of your seats and greet one another in the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, it sure is good to see everybody here tonight. Very special weekend that we have. Praise God. It's wonderful to see everybody meeting and greeting, shaking hands. It's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord here tonight. Amen. Well, what a special holy weekend that we have. Our resurrection weekend. We're just honored that you could be here. Praise the Lord. We just welcome you. And as I look around, we have a few new faces here tonight. We're just so glad that you could be here at Family Church tonight. Amen. We know that God's got a plan for you. We want to tell you all about God's plan for your life. Amen. And so if you're the first time here tonight, we welcome you. Those that are brand new, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here. We want to tell you all about God's word and his plan for your life. He tells us over there in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. He says, plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. And so God's got a plan for your future. We want to get you connected. Of course, it always begins with the Bible. Amen. And so we just welcome you here. Hey, if you're visiting here tonight, we do have a welcome card right there in the seat with you. It's a gray welcome card. If you wouldn't mind taking just a moment, maybe fill that out. We certainly would appreciate that. Please know whenever you give us, you know, any information here at the church, we don't share it. We're not into that game where we're selling information and all that stuff. Every bit of information stays private right here at the church. And you can just put that in the offering when that goes by here in just a few moments. There's a couple of great ways to get connected to the church. If you'd like to put down your cell phone number, we have a text communication that goes out every Saturday or whenever. Actually, we had two this week. How many of you got the text message last night for Good Friday and then got it again today, right? Usually we don't have multiple messages going out, but it was Good Friday yesterday. And so we just, you know, I was taking a walk and, you know, I was thinking about Good Friday, thinking about, you know, what the Lord did for us by going to that cross. And I realized I just wanted to send out a message. Amen. And so I'm the one that personally sends out those messages. Usually it's about service times or whatever. But if you'd like to get connected, you can do that. We also have a email devotional that goes out every single Tuesday afternoon. If you'd like a Bible teaching right to your inbox, I write a Bible article for the local newspaper. And so if you'd like to receive that directly into your inbox, it's of course a little bit more detailed when it comes to you via email. And so feel free to sign up for that. Last but not least, there's a space there on the back of that gray card for prayer needs and requests. We have folks that pray over every single card, and so if you would like to receive prayer, that's a great way to communicate that to the church. And again, the offering is going to go by here in just a few moments. You can drop that in when it does. And church, whose joy is it to make sure that we welcome those that are visiting here tonight? That's ours. Let's go ahead. Welcome those that are first-timers. So glad to have you. You know, the only thing better than having you here tonight would be to have you here all the time. If you're looking, you know, to learn the Bible, if you're looking to get plugged into a church, we'd love to see you every Saturday. And also, just for our visiting guests, I always like to explain this. If you wonder why we only have a Saturday night service here at Family Church Erie, it's because I pastor two different churches. So I'm here Saturday nights, and then I'm in our Jamestown location on Sunday mornings, all right? So we don't have anything against Sunday morning church, right? Amen. We just have our service here, and then I'm in Jamestown on Sundays, and so I just always like to make mention of that. Praise the Lord. Who's ready for some announcements here today? Yeah, amen. So we're real just pumped up. At least one person is, amen. Greg, he's excited for announcements. Well, not a whole lot to announce. Hey, ladies, don't forget a women's group. It is the last Saturday of every month. My wife, Pastor Katie Stallman, leads the women's group. And so that is 4:30 to 5:30 p.m. That will be next week. And so if you can be here for that, ladies, that would be great. And then we do have fellowship. There are refreshments after service tonight in the fellowship hall. You can head on over there after service if you'd like. And then we know that, of course, we are prepared to serve communion tonight, and so we're excited about that because it is resurrection weekend here. We're celebrating all weekend long. Amen. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad for a living Savior? Aren't you glad for the light of God's Word? Amen. And so we just wish everybody a wonderful, happy holiday. Enjoy this weekend. I know, young people, you're enjoying some time off school and college and classes and things like that. We just are so glad to have you here tonight. Praise the Lord. Who's ready for tithes and offerings here tonight? Yes, amen. Yeah, we should be excited about giving to God. Amen. Let's go ahead. Let's bring up Old Faithful, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. It says, bring you. And we love to emphasize those first two words of Malachi 3:10. Because what God's looking for, He's looking for a relationship with you. You know, sometimes, you know, giving is preached in a way that it feels like an impersonal kind of thing. But how many know it's very personal to God, and it's something that He wants to, you know, build a relationship with you. It's not just, you know, well, I'm just handing money over or something. God wants our heart attached. Amen. The scripture says over there in 2 Corinthians 9:7, you don't need to bring it up, but it does say this, that God loves a cheerful giver. You know, why would God love a cheerful giver? Well, when we're a cheerful giver, that means that we've grown up spiritually enough to make it more about Him than it is about ourselves. Amen. And when we're cheerful givers, that means, you know, we love to give to God. We love to be generous with God. Amen. Because He was first generous to us. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there might be meat or provision in the house of God. And he says, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I keep emphasizing this almost every week. Heaven is taking notice, right? You know, that scripture says, you know, that heaven is watching and that heaven moves on behalf of the tither. And God wants to pour out a blessing, amen? But not because God is like a slot machine. You know, sometimes people approach tithing, they think, well, I'll do it as long as I can just get God to give me something more than I put in. Listen, God is abundant, God is generous. But how many of you know our hearts and our motives have got to be right? We don't tithe to try to get something out of God. It's not the slot machine, you know, where you put something in and you hope to get more out of it. You know, we tithe to be faithful. We tithe to honor him and to put him first. Amen? And then the good news is that he does make sure to take care of us. How many of you know the blessing of the Lord can go far beyond finances? How many of you know the blessing of the Lord can protect you? How many of you know that the blessing of the Lord could, you know, keep danger out of your way and you never even had any knowledge of it? Aren't you glad that God's good like that? Amen. And so we're going to get ready to bring our tithes and offerings. We do have envelopes there if you'd like to use one. Let's pray as we give here tonight. Father God, we love you and praise you. Father, we like to be a tither because we want to grow to the point where it's more about you than it's about us. And so, Lord, you are faithful. You are good. And Lord, as we put provision in the house of the Lord, we trust you that you will take care of our house. Lord, you're faithful. Lord, we have nothing good without you. And so, Lord, we just submit ourselves. We obey the word of God. And Father, we just give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Brothers, you may serve the people. We're going to continue now with our praise and worship. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet once again. Let's lift our voices, lift our hands, and give the Lord glory. Father, we just praise you tonight. We glorify you tonight. You are faithful and good. Father, we've come ready to sing and to praise you. Hallelujah. Jesus. Glory to God.
Thank you, Father. There is no other name, but Jesus' name is worthy to be praised tonight. You're worthy, oh Lord. to be praised. Everybody lift your voice and sing it out. Oh Lord, you are worthy, worthy to be praised. Oh Lord, you are worthy, worthy to be praised, worthy, worthy. Oh Lord, you are worthy, worthy to be praised. We praise you, Lord.
Bless you tonight. Father, we glorify you. You are so good and worthy to be praised. Father, we are grateful that the blood of Jesus Christ washes us and cleanses us from all sin. Lord, we are so grateful that we have a living hope, that we have a living Savior, that, Lord, that we could be invited into your presence, that we could have eternal life. Father, you are faithful and you are good. And Lord, we're going to receive your word now. And Father, we're going to receive it with joy. And Father, we just believe this, that the Holy Spirit reveals and unveils your word to us. Father, we will receive it with joy. We will be doers of it. We just glorify you here tonight. Father, you are faithful and you are good. We just glorify you, Lord God. Father, we're going to receive your word. We thank you for revelation. Lord God, we thank you for insight. We thank you for utterance. Lord, we just trust that we're going to get everything we need here tonight. And Lord, we're going to prepare our hearts to receive the Lord's Supper. Father, on this very sacred weekend, Lord, we thank you for the absolute greatest moment that has ever taken place, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Father, we just glorify you. We thank you with all of our hearts. We give you praise and glory. We are so grateful. Church, just join me. Everyone just go ahead and say this with me. Father God, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. It is so good to see everybody here tonight. Are you ready for the Word of God? Yeah, we're going to have a message here, and then we're going to be partaking in communion. If you're here tonight and you say, well, Pastor, you know, I'm just visiting. This isn't, you know, my church or whatever. What's necessary to receive communion at Family Church? Well, our only requirements are the Bible's requirements, right? And that's that you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you have a relationship with Him, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior and you've taken Him as such, well, then you can receive communion here tonight, and we would, of course, welcome you to do so. Tonight, if you want to turn with me in your Bibles, go over to Isaiah chapter 52, And tonight I'm going to call this message, The Lord Carried It All. The Lord Carried It All. Today we celebrate the greatest moment that ever occurred, not just in human history, but in all eternal history for all time and ever will be, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're here to celebrate that moment, but also the events that led up to that moment. And we know that through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it not only proves that God exists, but it proves that the Bible is His Word. It proves that the Bible, you know, predicted what would happen. It did happen. And it's been predicting these things for hundreds and thousands of years. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is real, and He wants to have a relationship with us. Amen. And now we learn through His Word what He requires of us. We learn, you know, His guiding light for our lives. Amen. And I'm here to tell you that the best life that could ever exist for you and I is a life lived obeying God's Word. Amen. So go with me to Isaiah chapter 52. Tonight I'm going to give you three things that Jesus Christ carried for us when He went to that cross and then when He rose again 3 days later. We can never take these things for granted. We can never hear this enough, amen, about what the Lord did for us. Go to Isaiah 52. We're going to start in verse 13. How many of you know that originally when the Bible was written, it was not put in chapter and verse like we know it today? That was added later, so it would just help us to know where to find certain scripture and so on. And when we start in Isaiah 52, verse 13, we're going to read all the way down into Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 9. Usually when we read this passage, we go to chapter 53 and we just read verses 4 and 5. But we're going to read this whole passage because maybe some things that we fail to consider, you know, about the resurrection, about what Jesus did for us, and also maybe some things that we don't consider about just the significance of God's Word. Amen. Do you love God's Word here tonight? Yes, here's, you know, our answer. This tells us what we need to know. Starting in Isaiah 52, 13, now this whole passage that I'm about to read is about Jesus Christ. It is about our Lord and our Savior, and it's about His coming to the earth. And it says this, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently." It's talking about, you know, from the standpoint of God the Father speaking. "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many as were astonished at you, his visage or his appearance was so marred," or literally that word marred, it means indistinguishable, or literally it means to be corrupted or to be disfigured, all right? So literally this verse says, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high." Go to verse 14. He says, "As many as were astonished at you, his visage or his appearance was so marred more than any other man, and his form was more, in his form more than the sons of men." That tells us that there's a prediction in the Bible that Jesus Christ would be marred, or literally that his body would be more disfigured than any other human being that has ever been in life. All right? And so remember that, and we're going to get to that, and we're going to see why here in just a few moments. And it says, "So shall he," this coming Messiah, "he shall sprinkle many nations." The word sprinkle there is a reference. Remember in the Old Testament? Remember how they would sacrifice animals and the blood of the animal would be sprinkled upon the people for the remission of their sins? And now it is likening this coming Messiah to a priest. He won't just sprinkle Israel with the blood of an animal. It's now predicting that this Messiah would come and his blood would wash entire nations. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. We're in verse 15. Praise God. It says, "So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him," or literally not know what to say. Remember how that happened with both Herod and Pontius Pilate? Remember how Pontius Pilate said, "I don't know what to do with this man. I want nothing to do with him." Pontius Pilate had, had nothing to do with Jesus. We know that that scripture came to pass. You know, remember, also later on, Caesar and so on, heard about Jesus, wanted, didn't know what to do with the stories that were coming out of Jerusalem about his resurrection and so on. It says, Jesus, like a priest, will sprinkle or wash with his blood many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. And now go to chapter 53 and verse 1. It says, who has believed our report? It says, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he, everyone say he. In verse 2, it's talking about Jesus still. Jesus shall grow up before God, his Father, as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, in verse 3. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. See, people thought that Jesus was on that cross, that God was punishing him. But the scripture's letting us know it was not God, that was punishing him for his problems or his mistakes. In verse 5, it says this, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised, or that word bruised, it means crushed. He was crushed for our iniquities and sins. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are what? We are healed. And it says in verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity or the sins of us all. Folks, here's what is so amazing about this passage. This was written 740 years before Jesus showed up on this earth. And it meticulously details all that Jesus would accomplish for us, even though it was prophesied so many years before it came to pass. I'm here to tell you, folks, if the Bible said it, it's going to happen. It will come to pass. God is not a liar. Amen. Now look at verse 7. I want to just finish up here with a couple more verses. He says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Remember when the scripture says that? Remember when he stood in front of Pontius Pilate and Pontius Pilate said, what, have you nothing to say? Remember Jesus kept his mouth shut and didn't even defend himself? Remember that? That was predicted in the scripture 740 years before it came to pass. Folks, I'm here to tell you, never bet against the Bible. Never bet against the Bible. It is going to happen. God is not a liar. Amen. And it says, he is brought, Jesus is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And that was true of the Lord himself. It says, he was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off from out of the land and out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And verse 9 says, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Remember Joseph of Arimathea? Remember the rich man that gave up his tomb for Christ? Remember Jesus was placed inside a rich man's tomb? Well, there you go. That was also prophesied many, many years before it came to pass. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Praise the Lord. There is a prophecy. Go back up now to verse 4. Go to Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Let me real quickly just give you three things that Jesus carried for us. And again, we see in the scripture, God tells you what's going to happen before it happens. The same Bible that predicted that Jesus would go to that cross is the same Bible that predicts that he's coming again. It is the same Bible that tells us that he is in the midst with us when we gather in his name. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be in the midst with them. We have more than two or three here tonight. The Lord is here with us. Amen. Do you believe it here tonight? Yes. I believe it. I believe he's here. He says he's the one that walks in the midst of the church. He's the one that will be the righteous judge in reckoning day. He is the one that we have to do with. Amen. And I'll tell you what, God doesn't, you know, the Lord doesn't want to have to be our judge. God wants to be our Father. He wants to be our provider. Amen. Look at this, though, real quickly. Three things that he carried for us. Number one, are you ready? And this is, you know, something that we know, but we got to hear this over and over. Jesus carried our sins. Notice, and you drop down in verse 5, it says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised or crushed for our iniquities or for our sins. The number one thing that Jesus carried, and if you look at these verses, it's talking about what he carried for us. All right? That word carry, it means to lift the burden or to take the weight of something. And so Jesus carried the burden of our sin so that we don't have to carry the burden of our sins. Aren't you glad? Amen. He carried your sin. He carried my sin so we don't have to. Amen. And we need to always remember that. Praise the Lord. The only hope for mankind was that a Savior would carry the sins of the entire human race. If mankind was going to have peace with God the Father, if we were going to have peace with our Creator, it was necessary that someone would come and pay the price for our sins and reconcile us or bring us back together with our Heavenly Father. And that's exactly what Jesus did. And he's made it possible. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Yes, if God was ever to be known by us as our Father, a Savior was needed to bring both sides together, God and man. Praise the Lord. Like I said, to carry, it means to lift a burden or to lift the weight off somebody. Amen. Jesus bore, he carried, and he lifted the weight of sin off of our lives. Folks, we have no idea just how good it is to have sin off of our shoulders. If you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior, if you have personally accepted Christ, personally, not just, you know, because you went to church, not just because you've been a good person, but because you've been a doer of Romans 10:9, it says that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Or literally, saved from your sins, or have the burden or the weight of sin lifted right off of your life. Folks, we are supposed to be those that do not carry the weight or the burden of sin. Or, let's be honest, the Bible says we are not supposed to carry the burden of anything else for that matter. Amen. We're supposed to be free of the burden of sin. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. To have this weight removed off of our shoulder, no human being can ever truly have any joy until that sin or that debt of sin is lifted off their shoulders. No human being can ever know any sort of peace until they've made peace with their Creator. Amen. So much, you know, of the turmoil that happens, you know, within the hearts of human beings, you know, a lot of it is unnecessary. If we would know our Heavenly Father, if we'd live for Him, obey Him. Are you here tonight? Yes. Nobody can have true joy. Nobody can have true peace without knowing once and for all that they're at peace with their Heavenly Father. Glory to God. No human being will have any true purpose. No human being will ever be fulfilled in life, will ever be satisfied in life until they know that they are in right standing with their God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Folks, when God wants to move in our lives, the first thing he does is he lifts the burden of sin. Once that burden of sin is lifted, you can now proceed forward into a life of joy, a life of peace, a life that is, you know, not burdened by worry and doubt and, you know, fear and all these things. Glory to God. Jesus carried our sins so we don't have to. And it is on that day when we stand before God, we do not want to be standing there carrying our own sins. When we stand before him, we want to have the confidence to know that Jesus has already borne our sins for us. Amen. And folks, even if you've been a Christian for a while, but maybe, you know, you need to rededicate your life to him, or maybe you've been making some mistakes or making some bad decisions. I'm not saying that anybody is, but I'm here to tell you the Bible says over there in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Even as a Christian, or even as, you know, a believer, if we miss it, how many of you know we still have to confess our sin? Amen. Folks, you'll never know joy. You'll never know peace. No marriage will ever flourish if there's the burden of sin in that marriage. No personal life is ever going to flourish. It's going to be difficult to raise kids if there's the burden of sin is being brought into that relationship. It's going to be hard to prosper if you're walking through this life with the burden of sin. Confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You know, live for him. It is the only way to live. Glory to God. Like I said, no marriage will truly succeed as long as it's burdened with sin. Children will never know the true joys of a peaceful home until it is free from the burden of sin and the weight of that is lifted off of it. No living soul will ever be fulfilled, enriched, or truly satisfied until the burden and the weights of sin is off of them. Amen. Glory to God. Here's the second thing. Are you ready for the second thing? We're going to have a shorter message here tonight because we have communion to receive here in just a few moments. The second thing that Jesus took for us, are you ready for this, is our sickness and disease. Here we go. Go back up to verse 4, and we see this in the scripture. And we're going to take a look at something that maybe we don't consider when it comes to healing. Sometimes, you know, we look at it for what it means for us, and that's a wonderful thing. God wants us to have it. But we have to also look at the root of it, meaning the purpose of why God did this, all right? Notice the Bible says, now I'm reading out of the King James Bible. It says, surely Jesus has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. If you have a more modern Bible, see, a more modern translation will get into the original Hebrew. The word griefs there, it means sicknesses. It is the Hebrew word for sickness or disease. And then the word sorrows is the Hebrew word for pain. All right, so literally. Actually, can you bring it up in the Amplified Bible? I believe that'll, you know, shed a little light on this for us. Surely Jesus has borne or carried our griefs, our sicknesses, our weaknesses, and distresses. I like that. Boy, that really encompasses a lot. Jesus went to that cross. He carried our sin, but then he also carried our sicknesses, our weaknesses, and distresses. Has anyone ever faced sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, right? All right. These are the challenges that we face in this life. And he also carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. Boy, that is very key right there. I didn't even realize I had that in my notes. I didn't even realize the Amplified added that at the end, as if with leprosy. That's interesting. I'm having a little epiphany moment up here. Praise the Lord. I'll explain it here in just a second. But notice he carried our griefs. He carried our sicknesses and our distresses. Aren't you glad? Now, remember when we went over there, we started in Isaiah chapter 52. Remember when it says that he was marred beyond the visage of any man? Remember how it says that his body was corrupted, all right? Or you know, literally, you know, didn't even look human. One Hebrew translation says that Jesus' body, of course, a reference to the cross, didn't even look human anymore. He was so disfigured. His body was so corrupted. And it wasn't just because he had taken a fierce beating. What would a human being look like if you put all the sicknesses and distresses of the world on one human being? See, remember even the Roman soldiers, remember how they were even shocked at what they saw? Jesus was carrying our sicknesses and our distresses. He was carrying our pains in this life. You know, He was carrying all these things that would try to plague us and hurt us. Why was God so interested in taking care of our bodies? Well, first of all, remember, he was going to, through our belief in Christ, he was going to turn our bodies into what? The temple of God. Our bodies are his temple. Remember, we are also part of his body. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why did God put the sicknesses of the world, you know, on Jesus so that we could believe for health and healing? We know we go through challenges. We know we've been through challenges in our body, right? But God is there, you know, he wants to take care of us. Amen. He wants to give us long life because we're part of his body. Our body is the temple because he's merciful, because it's in the atoning works of Jesus Christ. It is part of the redemption that Jesus has given to us. Amen. Notice God wanted to take care of you spirit, soul, and body. God does not want you living a life full of distress. All right, that doesn't mean that challenges don't come. But he doesn't want you living a life full of worry and burden. You know, there's so many Christians that are living just nonstop worried. Jesus carried your worries. He carried your distresses of mind. He carried the sickness and disease that would try to get onto your body. Amen. But notice, here's the part that we don't think of too often. And this is why I said I was surprised. You know, I didn't realize that the Amplified Bible included as if with leprosy. Why did God put sicknesses, the sicknesses and diseases? There's a lot of people that are trying to back away from this. There's a lot of, you know, preachers and in churches in the days and times that we live in that don't believe that Jesus Christ carried our sicknesses in the atonement. Folks, I'm here to tell you, he carried your sicknesses. He carried your disease. And see, why so many people struggle with that? They say, well, if he carried my sickness and disease, how come I still go through tests in my body? How come I still go through challenges? Well, he carried all your sins, but do you still go through tests and trials and temptations to sin? Right? Notice you still go through a trial, you still go through a test, but you don't allow sin, or you don't believe that sin's going to overtake you, right? But there's a greater reason, there's a root cause why Jesus carried our sins. I did not even know this. I was even studying in the Amplified Bible, and I must not have looked at verse 4, and I believe, and the reason why I said I was having a moment, because here I was just feeling like, man, God gave this to me. God spoke to me about this. And then here it is in the Amplified, point blank. There it is. Praise the Lord. There's a reason why. And of course, I even have it in my notes, the term leprosy. Remember, we got to look at this verse to whom it was written. Who is this written to? We know it's written to us now. We get that because Jesus has already came. He's fulfilled these things. But when this was written, there was a group of people that it was written to. Who is that? Israelites, that's right, the Jews. Now, if somebody in the Jewish camp, remember what would happen, and let's use leprosy as an example. That was one disease. If you had leprosy as a Jew in the Old Testament, what happened to you? Yeah, you got booted out of the camp, right? Remember how they would be removed from the camp until that leprosy cleared up? Remember, they would become ceremoniously unclean. All right, remember how if they had leprosy and there were other diseases and things like that, they would be rejected, all right, in the old Jewish camp. Here's why God included sickness and disease and healing of our bodies in the atoning work of Jesus Christ. It wasn't just because he wants to heal our bodies, which he certainly does. He is a healer. But Jesus wasn't carrying just our sicknesses and disease. He was carrying the third and final thing that we're going to talk about here tonight. He was carrying our rejection. He was carrying our rejection. See, when the body of Christ is told about, well, he put the sickness and disease on Jesus so that we can be healed. That's true. Thank God for healing. Folks, I am somebody that was healed by the name of Jesus Christ when doctors all thought I was dying and all this stuff back when I was a kid. Actually, twice in my life. You ever hear that? I've shared it. I know we've got, you know, some newer people here real quickly. When I was in 11th grade, I got really sick. And I got hospitalized for 8 days. I had a fever of 107. And they rushed me into the hospital, packed me with ice. They were concerned that I would have some sort of brain damage, you know, when you get a fever that high. So if something just doesn't quite sit right with you about me, well, now you know there, all right. But no, I was packed in ice, all this. They were really concerned. I had a severe infection. My lymph nodes in my neck grew so large that they looked like softballs in my neck. They literally were out further than my jawline. You know, I just got really, really sick, and they could not figure it out. I was taken up to Roswell Cancer Institute, and I had one of their best doctors. I was 16 years old, and I went in there with this doctor. He asked my parents to get out of the room, and he wheeled right up in front of me, and he said, "Listen, pal," he's like, "I believe you've got one of three things wrong with you." He said, "You either have Hodgkin's disease, you have HIV, or you have lymphoma or cancer within your lymph system." And I said, "Oh, goodness, how about none of the above, you know?" "None of the above." He said, "But for some reason, we cannot figure out what's wrong with you." And he said, "We're, you know, Roswell is one of the best, you know, especially with cancer issues and so on." And so he really did not give me any great news. Well, I left that appointment. I had a friend who was going to church right over here in Waterford. And I don't even remember the name of the church. And I was born and raised in a very conservative denomination. Folks, we did not lift hands and praise God. We did not believe in being filled with the Spirit. We did not believe in praying in tongues. We did not believe, you know, in any of that stuff. We didn't believe in divine healing. We didn't believe in the anointing of oil. We just didn't believe in any of that. You might be wondering, well, what did you believe? Not a whole lot, to be honest. You know, we believed in salvation, which is the first and greatest thing you can believe in. Amen. And so this friend of mine said, "Hey, there's a church service. We want you to come out to this church service." And I'll be honest, at 16 years old, I wanted nothing to do with God. I wanted nothing to do with God. And so I went to this service, and it was a Holy Spirit service, and it was really out of my realm. You know, I had no idea what was going on. And this man walked up to me, and long story short, called me up front. He put oil on his hands. He grabbed my neck, which was still swollen. I had been discharged out of the hospital, but I was still really sick. You know, I had this infection. My lymph nodes were huge. He grabbed my neck, which put a lot of pain in my body, and my natural instincts were to punch this man. I wanted to hit him. It just hurt so bad. And he said, "In the name of Jesus, you sickness, infection, get out of this body now in Jesus' name." And then he thrashed me around. And I'm literally getting like pulled around. I'm getting ready to like kick his ankles out from under. I mean, I was getting mad. It hurt so bad. But I restrained myself. And then he looked at me. He said, "Son," he said, "when you get home," he said, "for the next week or so," or whatever it was, he said, "I want you, when you're in the shower, to take soap and wash in your neck." He said, "When you're washing your neck," he said, "take your left arm and hold it out and say, 'In the name of Jesus, get this sickness, get out of my body. In the name of Jesus, get out.'" And I went home. And I honestly rolled my eyes at that man. I honestly did. But I went home, and eventually I was in the shower the next day. I'm like, "Well, I ain't going to hurt to do this." You know, and so I started every day saying, "In the name of Jesus, get out of my body. Name of Jesus." It was 2 to 3 weeks later, I had another appointment up in Roswell. The swelling all went away. The infection in my body was completely gone. I sat in front of that same doctor. He removed my parents from the room, and he came up. He scooted up on this little roller chair thing he was on. He comes right up to me. I was sitting on the doctor's table. His first words to me is, "What happened?" He said, "What happened to you?" I said, "What do you mean?" He's like, "You are not the same young man that came into this doctor's office, you know, this hospital or whatever, you know, weeks before." He said, "What happened?" I said, "I don't know, doc." I said, "The only difference is I went to a church service and this man put oil on his hands, thrashed me around in the name of Jesus Christ. I then proceeded to spend the next week or so washing in the name of Jesus, telling that thing to get out of my body. He looked at me, he blinked really hard, and he said, "Well, it worked." He said, "Well, it worked." He said, "You are not the same young man." See, my white blood cell count had gone down to under 100. You're supposed to have 10 to 15,000 white blood cells in your body at least to defend from infection. I had a lower white blood cell count than people that die from HIV. And so I was extremely sick. And so I know, and you cannot, and they also warned me. They said, because this happened to me when I was 6 years old. It happened again when I was 16 years old. And they said to me, they said, "You know what? You seem to be on some 10-year cycle. Your immune system is crashing every 10 years. So get used to this. It's going to happen when you're 26. It's going to happen when you're 36. They said, "It probably will happen when you're 46. Hey, I'm 46 right now. It never happened at 26. I got born again, started serving God, was taught how to believe for healing. Glory to God. 26, 36, never happened. 46, never happened. I've never had one bit or an issue of that ever, 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 ever. That is the glory of God. Amen. He carried our sicknesses. So let me say it again. I believe in healing to the uttermost. Folks, we could go on and tell you testimony after testimony after testimony. I've been there when people have been miraculously healed. Glory to God. And we could testify all day. But let's get to the root of it. Why did Jesus carry our sickness and disease? Yes, to heal our bodies. Yes, because God wanted to make our body the temple. Yes, because he's merciful. Yes, because he loves us. But what Jesus was carrying, third and finally, he was carrying our rejection. Just like the Jews with leprosy were cast out of the camp, the healing of our bodies, the carrying of our sickness and disease was God's way of saying, "I will never reject you. I will bring you into my presence. You will never be thrown outside the camp. You will never have, quote unquote, leprosy again." See, our sin had given us leprosy, so to speak. It had made us separate from God. Our sin had cast us out of the camp. And Jesus came to carry anything and everything that would keep us separated from God. Now, sickness and disease doesn't keep you separated from God. You understand? If you've gone through a sickness or an illness, it doesn't keep you from God. But the reason why Jesus bore our sickness and disease, it was his gift to us to show that he has made peace, that you will never have to carry that rejection. Let me show you this. We'll end right here. Go over to Matthew chapter 26. Actually, 27. Go to Matthew 27. I want to show you this, and then we're going to receive communion. Matthew chapter 27. Jesus Christ carried our sins. He carried our sickness and disease. Amen. And he carried our rejection. Remember how it says he was rejected of men? He was despised. He did that for our sake. I want to show you the moment that this all took place. Matthew 27 and verse 45. Go over there. We'll just cut right to the chase. Now, remember when Jesus was on the cross? These scriptures are talking about Jesus on the cross. Remember when he hung on the cross for 3 hours? It was dark over the land. It says this. Now, this is taking place where Jesus is on the cross at this moment. It says, now from the sixth hour, which would be our noontime. The sixth hour for the Jews was our noon. So from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour, all right, which is 3 p.m. Jesus was on the cross from noon until 3 p.m., which is supposed to be when the sun is the highest in the sky. But notice, it was not a bright, sunny day. What does the Bible say? It says that darkness covered the entire land for 3 hours. And if you want kind of an illustration of what that darkness was like, how many of you remember it was about a year ago when we had that complete solar eclipse right here? I'll tell you what, that was biblical. I mean, I'll tell you what, all of a sudden it went dark in the middle of the day and the peepers came out and we had roosters crowing and all this stuff, and it got cold, and you saw this ring of fire in the sky and all this stuff. I was just like, man, the Lord's coming right now. Let's go. Let's go. I was ready. I was ready. Remember how it just felt? You did it? Did anyone else? I mean, I'm not trying to over-spiritualize stuff, but it felt like there was something about that when that happened. Well, imagine that now going on for 3 hours, and of course, it was even much more dramatic than that. It was dark. And now right at the end, before Jesus died, right around the ninth hour, or 3 p.m. for you and me, look at verse 46. Jesus said something. And here's the last cry out from Christ while he's on the cross. And it says, in about the ninth hour, right before he was going to die, Jesus cried with a loud voice. So we would say it this way. He shouted this. And this is where he says. He says, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is translated to mean, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why did Jesus shout that out so that all the world would hear and know forever there was a moment where God the Father forsook and turned his back for the first time in all eternal history, God had turned his back on Jesus, his son. Because it was at this moment Jesus bore our sins. All of a sudden, God the Father had to look on Jesus as if he had committed every sin that had ever happened on that earth. It was at that moment. You and I are in that verse. Our sins are at that moment, your sins were being reckoned with. 2,000 years before you even committed those sins, they were being dealt with right there. God had to turn his back on Jesus, his son, and forsake his only begotten. This is at that moment Jesus bore our sins. It was at this moment that Jesus bore our sickness and disease. And it was at this moment Jesus Christ carried the rejection that you and I would face if we try to carry our own sins. At this moment, Jesus was overwhelmed. He was filled or he was flooded with a sense of doom. He was given the sense that any sinner who dies without Jesus as their Lord and Savior will be filled with a sense of doom. And Jesus, you know, he felt the doom of what humanity was about to face. So much overwhelmed him that he cried out, God, why are you doing this? Think about this. Are you getting a hold of this? Yes. Jesus carried our rejection. He was made sin. Remember when the Bible says that over in, where is that? 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we could be made the righteousness of God. Jesus was being made sin at that moment, and it was my sin and your sin. Think about that. It was at this moment that the Father rejected the Son for the first time in eternal history. It was at this moment that Jesus experienced the soul-crushing flood of terror as he was overwhelmed with the rejection of the Father. There is nothing that could be worse in the human experience than facing what Jesus was facing right there. The Bible warns us that if we do not turn from our sins, that we could face a God who says, depart from me, you that work iniquity. Hearing those words of rejection from God would be the worst thing any human could ever face. But here's the good news. Jesus has already faced it for you. Do not come to that moment where it will be, there'll be no return. There'll be no going back. Don't be crushed with that flood of rejection and to hear those words that God would have to cast you away. Don't ever allow yourself to get to that place, right? Because Jesus has already been there. He's already experienced it for you. Jesus was experiencing this for you. He was experiencing this for me so that we would never have to hear the words from God that says, depart from me. Oh, that's what God was doing to Jesus right there on our behalf. Jesus carried our sins. He carried our sicknesses. Because those sicknesses were a reference or a token or a symbol of rejection. If you were a Jew, hearing Isaiah's prophecy, you knew that diseases, leprosy, you know, would be something that removes you from the camp. This is God saying, I don't ever want to remove you from the camp. I don't ever want you to be rejected. I don't ever want you to end up in hell. Hell is a real place. The good news is heaven is a real place. Amen. So we can never be too grateful. So if Jesus did all this for us, let's ask ourselves, what are we doing for him? What are we doing for him? Let's live a life that's worthy of this incredible gift. Folks, I'm here to tell you, this is real. And there is a reckoning day. But the good news is you can face that reckoning day with confidence, knowing that you have put your faith in Christ. Amen. What we're going to do now in a moment here, I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. And if you're here tonight and you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, I'm going to give you that opportunity here in just a few moments. Folks, I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to walk up to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you down front. I'm not going to send somebody over to you. But I'm going to give you an opportunity right there in your seat to accept Jesus as your Lord. It's not about family church. It's not about the name of our organization. Family church did not make up this idea. God just raised up this church with many other churches to tell people about this truth and to teach how to live in a way that would please the Lord, because he has done so much for us. He purchased us with that blood. He carried your sins. He carried your sicknesses. He carried your rejection. Let's close our eyes. Let's bow our heads. Let's enter into prayer. And please, everybody, if you could just close your eyes, bow your heads with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We praise you for your goodness. Father, we could never thank you enough for all that you did for us through Jesus. Lord, you carried our sins, every rotten thing we ever did. And even the sins that we didn't even realize, Lord Jesus, you carried it. And then you took upon yourself the sicknesses and diseases. Yes, so we can be healed. Yes, so we can be whole. But yes, so that we would never be rejected. Lord Jesus, you took the rejection. You faced that sense of doom and terror that any human soul would ever face, to hear God tell them to depart from him. That'd be the worst moment. There would be no getting it back. Eternity is real. And it's far, far longer than this life that we're living now. And Father, you've given us such a great opportunity to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, it says that if you'll confess or just speak, declare it with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's God's promise of salvation to you and I. I don't care if you're young. I don't care if you're older. I don't care if you have no money or you have a lot of money. Ask yourself this question: have I made Jesus my Lord and Savior? Don't ask yourself how good of a person you think you are. That's not the question we ask. The question we ask is, have I made Jesus my Lord? Have I personally invited him into my heart? If you're here tonight and you are unsure about that, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Again, I'm not going to make anybody stand up, come up front or anything. This is between you and God. But if you're here and you'd say, Pastor, that's me. I want to be saved. I want my sins to be washed. I need to live right. I need to get my life on track with God. If that's you, I'm going to invite you to take one small step towards the Lord and just lift your hand for 1 second. When I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down, and then I'm going to lead this entire congregation in a prayer, and right there in your seat, you can pray, and that's where you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you invite him into your heart, and he'll wash away your sins because you put your faith in him. If that's you, could you lift your hand now for 1 second? I see that hand. You can put them down. God loves you. Is there anybody else that would say, Pastor, that's me? You know, I know sometimes it takes boldness. I tell you what, though, it's worth it. Boy, it took a lot of courage for Jesus to do what he did for us. We can take that little step of courage and just say, Lord, it's me. I want to believe that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Anybody else before we pray this prayer? Anybody else that just know you feel in your heart you need to lift your hand and respond and invite Jesus into your life? Well, we did have a couple hands. What I'm going to do, I'm going to lead us all in the prayer. So if you lifted your hands, pray this prayer right along with us. Don't just think it in your head. Speak these words out of your mouth. Everyone's going to be praying it. So we're obviously not pointing you out. But let's all go ahead and let's pray this and just mean it with our hearts and God will hear us. Everyone pray this with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'll tell you what, the Bible says there's rejoicing in the company of angels in heaven when a sinner repents. Well, they've got a double party here tonight, right? Amen. And so there's nothing better than seeing folks making Jesus the Lord of their life. Well, at this time, if we could go ahead and have the ushers go ahead, get ready. We're going to be serving communion here. And what we're going to be doing is that we're going to be bringing the elements directly to you. And, of course, everybody is welcome to be served here. Again, the only, you know, requirements to take communion at Family Church is that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. So for those that just accepted Jesus as their Lord, guess what? You can receive communion. Communion is a representation of the body and the blood of Jesus that was broken for us. That body was broken, that blood was shed so that we could have the remission of sins. And the Bible says, as often as you drink this cup eat that bread and drink of that cup, you're showing or symbolizing that you believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus until he returns someday. Amen. And so what we're going to do, the ushers are going to come around here and serve you. And Reverend Tony is going to be leading us just in song. And we're going to remain in our seats. The Bible tells us to examine our hearts. And so take this moment, sitting there in your seat, as the elements are being passed out, you know, examine your heart. If there's things that you know you need to be doing better for God, well, work that out between you and him right now. This is a good time for that. And so, ushers, if you would, start serving the people. Once everybody's served, we'll pray, and then we'll receive the elements. Reverend Tony, if you would.
Oh,
We want to make sure that everybody who wants to be served is served. Is there anybody that wants to be served and you were missed and you didn't get served? Is there anybody that we missed? We want to make sure to give everybody an opportunity for those that want to receive. I think we are all set, all good over here. Everybody in the worship team is served, and so praise the Lord. Well, let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we just bless you tonight. We glorify you. Father, we thank you for this bread that represents the body of Christ that was broken for us. We thank you for this cup that is the blood of the New Testament. Thank you, Father, for the blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you carried our sins. You carried our sickness and disease and our distresses, and you carried our rejection. You went through that moment so that we wouldn't have to. And Father God, we pray over these elements and we receive them as a blessing. Father, we receive them for all they represent, and we honor this ordinance that you've given to the church. Father, we thank you and we praise you. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. You may eat." After he had eaten, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the blood of the New Testament." He said, "As often as you drink this cup and eat this bread, do so in remembrance of me. You may drink." Father God, we just bless you. Father, we thank you for the body and the blood. Thank you, Father God, that we have nothing good without Jesus. Lord, we are so grateful. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you that, Father, that you meet every single need, spirit, soul, and body. Father, we bless you tonight. We glorify you. We worship you. And Father, I pray that for every single one of us in here, that, Lord, that we would dedicate ourselves to serve you, to obey you. Father, I pray that each of us would get into your Bible, find out what you require of us, be doers of that. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen all the brethren, and Father, and give them a heart and a mind to obey you. Father, give them a heart of revelation, knowledge of you. And Lord, we just give you the praise. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Did you get some help here tonight? Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? Well, why don't we rejoice? Don't forget that we have refreshments over there in our fellowship hall. Everyone's invited to head on over there if you would like. Let's just give God the glory. We'll be dismissed. Father, we just praise you. We're so grateful for the resurrection. Father, we are so grateful that Jesus went to that cross, shed his blood, carried our sins, carried our sickness, carried our rejection, and then rose again on the third day. Lord Jesus, you are our living Savior, our living healer, our living provider, and our living protector. And Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.